Welcome to Engage Arizona, public policy for daily life. Protecting the preborn is a comprehensive effort. Advocating for public policy that affirms life and cares for the mother is just one important aspect. Women faced with unplanned pregnancies need a place to turn, somewhere to slow down and consider their options, somewhere they can learn about the resources available to them, somewhere safe, where someone will listen. Pregnancy resource centers provide all of that and more. They also provide pro-life Arizonans opportunities to get involved and help both the mother and her preborn baby. A panel of women who head local pregnancy resource centers joins us today to give their insight into this important aspect of the pro-life movement. The panel discusses their role in the community, why women consider abortion, the father's role, the greatest need, and how you can help. And now, here's CAPS, Cindy Dahlgren.
Welcome to Engage Arizona. In this increasingly divisive climate, the abortion debate can get ugly. Recently, pro-abortion activists badmouthed pregnancy resource centers in an effort to block legislation that would have provided them with more money to care for women with unplanned pregnancies. So we have invited the heads of three such organizations to join us today to talk about what pregnancy resource centers really do and the impact that they have on our community, also about their needs and how we can help. With me today is Lisa Henry, Executive Director of Pregnancy Care Center in Chandler and Gilbert, Kimberly Hash, former Executive Director of Living Hope Centers, now President of the Board there, and Elisa Medina, Executive Director of Hands of Hope Tucson. Thank you all for your time. So let's start with you, Lisa. Tell us a little bit about, like, what is the mission of Pregnancy Resource Centers? How do you see your role in the community?
Well, our mission statement is to demonstrate God's love by providing free, compassionate care before, during, and after pregnancy. And I think as we expand on before, during, and after pregnancy really shows us how we meet the need of a woman coming in an unplanned pregnancy and provide free pregnancy tests, free ultrasound. As we move through the during pregnancy, the resource centers also offer those prenatal classes, those parenting classes. And then after pregnancy, those parenting classes come into play, and that's when post-abortive counseling education and some other resources come into the community as well.
Okay, anybody want to add to that?
Well, and I think also one thing that pregnancy centers, part of their mission is to partner with communities to be able to do that very well and offer a lot of the services that communities can offer to the girls that come through our centers as well.
Okay, Elisa, you are shaking your head, and did you have something to add? So how has your mission been affected by recent laws? I think right away of the Title X funding, but there could be other laws. Kimberly, you wanna speak on that?
I think it just really deepens our mission. The laws, I don't think we can ever completely rely on laws and politics to do what we do. We rely, like I said, on community partnerships and just caring and loving for the woman that comes into our centers. So other than if a law was passed that shut down centers, that would deeply impact what we do. But what we do really transcends all of that. What we do is really meet with women one-on-one, change their hearts, love them, help them to make good decisions and well-informed decisions by delivering truth to them in a loving and caring environment. So I don't think the laws affect us because we do have these partnerships with community groups that allow us to provide for the needs of women that are in our communities.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to that?
Yes, I think that one of the things in the governmental climate federally that we're seeing is just an increase in non-English speaking. It used to be pretty predominantly Hispanic, but we're relying a lot more on Google Translate because there's different languages that are coming into the center from asylum seekers, border crossings, whatever the situation is, and we're having maybe a more elevated fear as well. I don't know if you're seeing that down in Tucson, but we're seeing that in Chandler.
And so how do you address that besides using
connecting them to the resources as best we can. We're finding that we don't necessarily have all that we would like to have to meet the needs. And there's a lot of fear that comes into those places. We were at an event this morning where we learned about some more resources available right in our Chandler community that we're looking forward to being able to provide food resources. Salvation Army has some really great resources that we didn't know about. So we're looking forward to expanding our community reliability to get those needs met to the clients.
All right, so turning our attention a little bit to sort of the mission and how you go about it. The pro-life advocates have been accused of only caring for the unborn child in the past, you know, sort of at the expense of the mother. And so tell me a little bit about how the focus has changed over the years to also caring for both the mother and the baby, and how has this focus proven critical? Elisa, you want to speak to that?
Sure. It's, for those of us that have been doing pregnancy center ministry, we know that's never been the case. In fact, in order to actually try to empower a woman to choose life, we have to get to the heart of the woman. And we have to meet her at her point of need before she can even consider continuing the pregnancy. So for those of us who have been doing this for decades, that's always been our strategy, is to love them both. We know that every human is created in God's image, and there's not, woman is not more important to God or precious than the child. They're both equally precious, and so we're wanting to meet the needs of both of those people who are joined together through this beautiful thing called pregnancy. So again, I just think the messaging in the media is very different than what we are actually all doing on the front lines.
Anyone else want to speak to that? Or
so true.
She said it very eloquently.
Okay, a little bit about the fathers then. What do you see from the fathers? And, you know, what is their role currently? And what do you see are the needs that need to be, you know, worked on in that regard?
The father's role is important, especially in a pregnancy, because oftentimes it can inform her decision. And so initially being able to connect with the father when he comes into the center, being able to provide him information if he doesn't come into the center, so that his he might not be pressuring her to have an abortion. So we could help there. But certainly after, if she chooses the life of her baby and chooses to parent her baby, unless he's abusive to a child or to her, the role is important too. And so I think being able to provide him education as well, that helps connect him to that role as a father.
Through many centers have wonderful fathers
where dads can talk about their role as a father. But sometimes they can't meet. Sometimes dads work during the day and they can't get together at night and meet. And so I think centers have to be very good at creating those opportunities to allow that education to happen. Right now, through Bright Course, we're able to text videos to clients that they can watch and watch the videos and take the lessons. And so we can do that education remotely now, where we never could do that before as easily. So those are opportunities where we can help a father learn what his role is and help connect him in that way.
Okay, so and we'll continue with the fathers, but it did make me think a little bit about what else you do with those videos. Can you talk a little bit about
Sure. Them? So the Earn While You Learn curricula has been around for a really long time. We've been doing it for a lot of years, where we design lessons around the needs of a mother from pregnancy through infancy, through toddlerhood, special needs, life skills, all those kinds of things that help a mom and dad be a good parent to their child. And so what we have done in the last couple of years is started producing our own content, so that the videos we produce are always within the values that we hold, that centers want to have. And so what we've been doing since we've been producing our own content is doing it through a streaming platform called Bright Course, which allows a center to stream those videos into their center. It also allows them to text those videos to their clients. So for women who can't come into the center per se, maybe they are on bed rest, or maybe they work during the day, or any number of reasons, they can still connect with that client and still provide that education to them through texting them the videos and the lessons. And then they can reconnect with them after that to go over the answers and still have that personal connection. That's super important in our centers.
And what has the response been?
It's been really good. Go ahead.
I can speak to the response. We implemented Bright Course. I'm new director at the Pregnancy Care Center in July. We implemented Bright Course, and we had 7 in our parenting class, and we're threefold. We've multiplied that by 3 since we've implemented the Bright Course curriculum. And the wonderful thing about Bright Course, you can bring in an instructor that then I'm going to use the example of the nutrition. We brought in a nutritionalist that used the Bright Course material that is biblically based on life skills and has curriculum for the client, the mother and the father of the baby. And then from that point, they are... the nutritionalist can then speak to her expertise. And so you're not relying on the instructor to bring in the foundation of truth that we're looking for in our parenting classes. And so we've just seen a great reward by using the Bright Course material.
So can you do it in different languages so she can use it for some of the other
Hispanic, yes.
We do have it in Spanish in our main curriculum, yes. But not in other languages yet, but maybe sometime down the line that'll happen.
Okay, thank you. So I want to switch back to the fathers again and continue on that. Elisa or Lisa, you have anything to talk about the fathers and their role? And I guess one of the questions is, has it changed? Do you see more of a input or interest from the fathers?
We are seeing in our center more parents, more fathers of the babies attending parenting classes, and more men coming with the women to their appointments. Served at the center for 10 years prior to being the executive director, and I think that is a movement of change. And the father's words matter in that place where I just remember a sweet couple that she was very concerned about her unplanned pregnancy, and he was absolutely not an advocate of abortion. And I asked him, would you please speak the words to her right here in this counseling room? Would you tell her how important that baby is to the word? Would you speak those words to her? So his words matter. And then in the parenting class, we had a young man, a father of a baby. He wasn't with the birth mother, but he began to come to parenting classes because he wanted to know how to be a better father to the unborn child that his baby mama was going to bring to life.
That's encouraging. I saw you shaking your head, Elisa.
I just, in our current culture, the father has no voice, really, legally or otherwise. And so oftentimes we'll even have, you know, men of faith that come in or stable relationships where the father will just say, you know, I'll do whatever, I'll support whatever she wants. And that's sort of his way of standing by her, even if he doesn't agree with an abortion decision. And he really feels so disempowered. And I think that's something that we need to do a better job in our families, you know, talking to our own families and church members about what does it actually look like in this current conversation for men to have the courage to lovingly talk about this. And because honestly, it's one of the saddest. We send out an email to every client that we have the privilege of serving, and the boyfriend wrote back and said, "We so appreciate the way that you treated my girlfriend with dignity and respect. She chose abortion. I'm so glad that I was able to hear my baby's heartbeat." And he was just so grieved, and yet there was nothing that he could have done to change her mind. And so this is definitely an area that needs prayer and lots of conversations at every level in the family, in our churches, and everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's very important. Is it when the women that do come in to your services, what are the top 2 reasons that you see that they are considering an abortion in the first place?
You know, for our center, I would say that it almost doesn't matter what her background is. It's this fear. And I think we can all agree it's fear, that paralyzing fear. I mean, research tells us that when a woman hears the word she's pregnant and she wasn't expecting that news, it's like receiving news that you have a terminal illness. And I know that sounds dramatic, but think about it. Life as you know it is now different, no matter what you do. And so, of course she lacks resources. Of course she lacks finances. Of course she lacks stability in a relationship. I think those are all common things that we see. And because of those vulnerabilities, fear just takes root. And that's what I believe drives women to to end up ultimately choosing abortion.
I would agree with
that false evidence appears real, and as I was praying for this earlier, it's an emergency. It's an emergency that needs to be handled, and I like how you said that it was, it's like a terminal illness. It's an emergency that I need to do something about it right now. So slowing down that process of making it not the crisis that it appears to be and providing all of the resources that we can on options. On what the adoption and talk about and listen longer than is comfortable about in each of those places. But in a CareNet statistic recently, I read that 60% of women that choose abortion have experienced a traumatic event 12 months prior to the abortion. And that really spoke to me, because if we can get to the heart of the trauma and the stress that happened 12 months before by listening a little bit longer than is comfortable, then we have an opportunity to just get to that heart condition and what is it behind the fear that's motivating the decision.
Yeah. That's definitely quite a statistic.
Yeah.
Anything to add?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I do think fear, and with fear comes all these tremendous pressures that she's facing. Yeah. And if we're only caring about saving the life of a baby, which we do care about saving the life of a baby, but really listening to her and hearing her heart and taking the time with her so that she feels cared for and cherished, that helps to remove some of those pressures. But then being very good at addressing those pressures and helping her through those pressures so that they are no longer crushing pressures on her will definitely help her in making a better decision, for sure.
And so would you say the number one thing that you can offer them as hope, or what is the number one thing you could offer a woman who's coming in, just learning that experience and or that information and is scared?
I think the number one thing we offer is truth. It is truth.
Truth of the baby and what's available to you, and that
it's
not the end of your world, it's not the end of your life, and there's a lot of help out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you think about it,
You can
Google
anything
on
the internet,
but
not
everything
that you
read
on the internet is truth. In fact, a lot of it's false information. When a woman finds out she's pregnant, the first thing she's going to do is Google what she can do, what her situation is, what this means to her. We live in a society where we're very internet related. We focus on that. So when she comes into the center, she already has a lot of information. She probably has already had a pregnancy test that she took at home. She's already starting to formulate thoughts and ideas for what she can do and how it relates to her current situation. So when we can slow it down, like you said, when we can share truth with her, that her situation, what she has read on the internet or what she believes may not be entirely true, and that there might be a different way to think about this, we can slow that down and help her through those pressures, then that really helps her a lot in making these decisions. And we have to be very good about addressing these, because when she leaves the pregnancy center, she still has to go home and think about it. She still has to roll around in the middle of the night and worry, and some of those decisions are made then. And so being able to provide her truth and good information that is medically based and scientifically based and not just somebody's opinion will help her make that better informed decision, I think.
Anything to add, Elissa?
You know, I just think, yes, absolutely truth. And I often will train our staff, what truth does she need to hear first? And the very first truth is, you are welcome here. We care about you as an individual. We might be the first safe place that she's been able to really share her true concerns. And so we do a lot of listening. And I think that is rare. Again, because we're so social media and just the way that our culture lives right now with technology. When was the last time you sat down with someone and they listened to you, you know, for an hour? When we just moved into a building about 200 steps from the abortion clinic in our community. And the very first client we saw went to Planned Parenthood, and she was genuinely wrestling with her decision. She wasn't someone who was adamantly going to have an abortion. And she said, can I just talk to someone? Can I just talk to someone about everything that I'm considering? And they said, we don't really do that here. So she came to Hands of Hope, and I was so excited, because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. we were available just to have her unload for an hour or so and share her concerns. And so I think that's what's really unique about pregnancy centers like ours that are not rushed, and we don't have a quota, and we don't have, it's really love. And so the truth we want her to know first is, we're so glad you came. How can we help? And that practical support. I mean, in addition to love and grace, it's okay, but she has some real needs. And so if we can connect her to some of those real immediate needs, that is going to take off some pressure.
Yeah, very good points. So what's the biggest obstacle that you guys find that you run into?
It's fear, because again, women are not making a decision based on logic. I mean, when do we ever make good decisions? When they're fear-based. Right. We can use a number of examples where I've parented in fear, all sorts of things. And so that really is the greatest hurdle, I think, is how can we get her to a place where she can stop thinking with her emotions and start thinking outside of her crisis and into the future.
And I think, too, alongside that is when we value her, and she feels that value and that love, then she can value her baby. But if we don't value her, like Planned Parenthood doesn't value her, then it's harder for her to understand the value of her baby. It's valuing life all around, her life and that baby's life, that makes a difference. And that's what pregnancy centers do. They're a whole package. They're a partnership, their baby and themselves.
And how have they changed over the years? I mean, you all have been involved in pregnancy resource centers for many years. How have they grown in their service?
Well, ultrasounds. They didn't used to have ultrasounds before. Now they have ultrasounds. Many, many centers do. Many centers are offering testing for STDs and counseling on that. So that's a big area of growth that many centers are seeing. Some centers, even here in Phoenix, CPC of Phoenix offers prenatal care. They have a doctor on staff that does that as well for a lot of the girls. Definitely out of the Tempe Center, I'm not sure about the other centers. So they're offering a lot more services in a life-affirming atmosphere than they used to be able to offer in the past, for sure.
I would agree. Ultrasounds have really allowed the woman that we love to see life, and that's been a beautiful experience to be a part of when you get to witness that. And you mentioned CPC. They are actually stretching into the delivery area now as well in their Glendale facility, with the potentially going to all of their facilities in the future for delivery, prenatal and delivery. And we love that Aid to Women offers an opportunity for a prenatal package. About $375, your prenatal care is taken care of. And so oftentimes we have those either undocumented or women outside of any health coverage that they can provide, still have that prenatal care. And that's the really critical component, is we want healthy moms, all of her health, not physically, but mentally and spiritually as well, to give birth to healthy babies. And there's lots of resources that we can provide that does that. The Mommobile here locally that St. Joseph's provides, that's in four different locations. That's another one that is a good one for undocumented women that can get those healthy babies too.
So how can we help? How can people help? What's the greatest need?
Volunteer. get involved. I think there are so many ways you can get involved in pregnancy centers. You can donate to pregnancy centers to help keep their doors open. You can pray, be on their prayer team. You can donate your time. You can be in their mommy stores helping to build those up. Or you can train as a volunteer to be a client advocate, a parenting instructor, get out there and vote as a community. Who you vote for matters greatly. I had a great opportunity to tour the state legislature here with Representative Walt Blackman, who is up in the White Mountains. He's a representative from the White Mountains, and he took us through the whole bill process of how it happens and how the majority party is the one who really gets to determine the bills that go through, and how critical that is in the pro-life community, because right now we have a very pro-life legislature, and so those bills that we see in other states that are just horrifying, we might see those here in Arizona if we lose that majority. So who you vote for matters. Getting out there voting, Center for Arizona Policy does an excellent job of creating a voter guide to help us know what the candidates stand for. Make sure you always vote for life. That's so important. One area that I think we need a lot of help in the valley here is housing for women who are in unplanned pregnancies. A lot of times women are kicked out of their homes if they choose to carry their babies, and there's just not enough of that here in the valley. We have Hope House through our organization, which is up in the White Mountains, and I know there's Maggie's Place down here, but I know that all of us turn away girls all the time because we don't have enough room for the need. So there needs to be more housing here in the valley for, and programs that support women in those situations.
I would agree with everything that Kimberly outlined. We look for volunteers as well that can fill other needs, where it can be a social media based graphic design artist. I mean, it's not limited to mentors. We know that God's gifted each and every one of us with spiritual gifts. So we're expanding. We're charging our board member to be oversight of certain areas of designation. We have lots of volunteers that want to come in from various churches to. We have the cleanest facility oftentimes because we have just the operation side that they want to send groups to do service projects. And so that's another way of just having that connection of various needs. And I financially is very important. Right now we have a banquet coming up October 8th, and we really feel like God's expanded and asking us to be open more hours. And to be open more hours, that takes more staff and more volunteers in order to make that happen. So we're trusting for a big and mighty year in 2020.
Elisa, anything in particular that you need in Tucson?
You know, we all are looking for time, talent, and treasure. I agree. But one of the things that recently I think that I really want to encourage others who maybe aren't involved in pregnancy center work to come tour our pregnancy centers, to have conversations. I think there's so much that can be done to equip people to have better conversations about unplanned pregnancy and abortion, because I think that's one of the greatest challenges that we have right now, again, with just how polarizing this issue is. And when we can start talking about this in a healthier way, and again, we know that it's men and women of faith too, who have also chosen abortion and who need healing from abortion. And so again, if they're not feeling like they can come to a safe place, they won't come. And so I would just encourage people to have genuine conversations, even if they don't understand why we do what we do, come and listen, come into our facilities. I think people would be amazed to see how professional all of our spaces are. As we've all increased medical staffing and expertise, a lot of us have licensed counselors on staff. I mean, this is not a mom and pop shop. These are absolutely beautiful professional clinics where we're able to offer tremendous care and support. So I would encourage people to start with checking out a pregnancy center located near them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to discuss this critical role that you all play in the fight to protect the preborn and their mothers from the harms of abortion. So where can people go to get information? Elisa, we'll start with you.
They can go to givehopetucson.com.
And we're at pcccchandler.com.
Well, you have a place in Chandler.
We're in Chandler and Gilbert, but our website will show you both locations for Chandler and Gilbert.
LivingHopeCenters.org.
Okay.
And we have a center down here in Phoenix as well as centers up in the White Mountains, and our addresses are there too, and phone numbers and opportunities to give if they want.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Engage Arizona, Public Policy for Daily Life. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to hear from you. Subscribe, rate, and give a review on any podcast platform you use. For more information, visit azpolicy.org.